I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast.
We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 52, we're talking about the voices in our ears and in our heads. We're drafting our favorite cheeseburgers, and you'll find out what Travis won't waste his mouth chews on.
What's new, Nate?
Archery season is open in Georgia.
Ooh. Is that speaking your love language?
Yes.
I'm
this past weekend.
I'm honestly off my game because you didn't talk about catching a fish on some feathers and Mylar ribbon.
Well, I mean.
No, please talk about archery.
It's hunting season, so, you know.
That's your first love.
This past weekend was opening weekend, and I went on a hunt in the Cahutta Wilderness in northwest Georgia. And we're recording this before I go. So next episode, I'll give an update. But yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, no,
it's going to be camp. We're going to camp and hunt. It's in the mountains, so I'm probably going to die. It should be a blast. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, hopefully you get some harvest. Is that public land?
All public land. It's actually part of the Chattahoochee National Forest. And also, it's the Cahutta WMA for the state of Georgia, too.
Let me ask you something. When you go there to the Chattahoochee National Forest, do you go way down yonder to get there?
Out.
You know, I live about a mile from the Chattahoochee River.
Really?
Question. What are you hunting?
Deer, bear, and hog season is open. So nice. I'm mostly going for like deer, hogs. I'm not all that enamored with shooting a bear because I don't know what to do with it.
I was just about to ask that.
Most bear attacks occur when you least expect it.
That's right.
I'm trying to do an outdoors podcast. Can you please? Do you like skin it and put the rug on the floor in front of your
absolutely
fireplace?
He's doing that.
Yeah, and people eat them too.
But you got to be careful with that, right? Because of the trichinosis?
Yeah, I don't know if that's...
Wait, some people eat bears?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much most people eat bears. I'm one of those people that if you kill it, you eat it. I don't know how to cook bear, so I'm not going to, you know, I probably wouldn't know what to do with it if I did kill one. But apparently it's really good if you do it right. And so, I don't know. I'm interested to try it.
I've eaten it before and it was pretty good. But I know that you can't undercook it because of the trichinosis thing, right?
Right. And I'm not sure how prevalent that is in Eastern bears. I know Western bears is pretty prevalent, but it's probably the same thing. You have to cook it basically like pork. You have to get it up to like 165. And it kills everything.
You got to be really careful with it.
Who is the chef guy that we had on? The Hungry Hunter. Does he have bear recipes?
Absolutely, he does.
I'm sure he does. Yeah,
he's in Colorado.
Sure
he does.
I'd have to look that up and see how to cook it.
He actually talked about bear on our show.
Did he?
Yeah. Because he had bear heart and he was unsure how to cook it because you didn't want to cook it. Most game you want to cook on the rarer side. Like full rare or rarer.
Right. Medium rare. Yeah, something like that. But bears, you can't do that.
Right. Or you just live with trichinosis.
But I'm mostly going for deer. I want some venison. I'm really hankering. What's that word? Hankering. Hankering for some venison.
I
don't know what word that is.
What's new with you, Travis?
Thank you.
Well, I feel like we should like clear up what happened with last week's episode. I feel like that was an event unto itself.
I would like to apologize to anyone who lives in Olympia, Washington. Any kid who wears a Husky-sized brand of anything from Sears. Tupac's family.
Kanye's family.
Notre Dame.
Oh. Dame.
The state and the college.
And the Hunchback. I don't even know what happened. Anyway.
Yeah. It was a lot of things.
It was a lot of things. And we thank you all for all of your feedback.
Yeah, just to clear up some
Emily's
rumors.
In a program.
No, I was not drinking or doing drugs. That just happens sometimes.
It's just normal.
Yeah.
I feel like there are people that look at us and they're like, how did he get a girl like her? And then they listen to the podcast and they're like, oh, that explains it.
Dang. Whoa, dang.
Let's see. We forgot to talk last week about the FWC closure. Did you see that? That's new.
Oh, yeah, the Snook and Redfish closure in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, super proud of FWC doing that. They're going to reevaluate at the end of September. I think the 30th, there's going to be a meeting. No, 26th, there's going to be a meeting because I'm booked that day. I've got duck charters all week. Super, super happy that they're doing something about that, taking a proactive approach. At the time of this recording, we have 11 days until we can shoot a duck in the face.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty exciting.
That's 11 days until we sit and sweat in a blind and pretend that teal are going to fly over us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, that's the way it goes.
Early wood duck, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Florida.
You shoot wood duck until Wednesday. But this year we're going to have a lot of teal because we don't have the hurricane. Knock on wood.
Theoretically.
Sorry, I'm just doing like a whole episode of what's news. I'm going to start running charters again for fishing after the 30th. That's exciting.
Very good.
The water's clearing up like we predicted it would in our red tide episode. The problem's not solved, but the symptoms are going away.
Right.
And the Kissimmee chain meeting is tomorrow night, so I'm going to talk more about that in keep and release, but make sure you tune in for that portion of the show. So, a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Exciting month.
Exciting. What's new with you, Emily?
Speaking of the red tide episode.
Yes.
So, a while back, we had what I deemed our first frenemy of the show via iTunes review, and his name was D-Wood Nasty. I don't know if any of you remember.
They remember because I said that he pitched for the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay.
In their bullpen.
So he came back and he says, and he's French apparently, edit part deux. The caddy reviewer is back. 10 out of 10 solely for the Red Tide podcast. Solid work, y'all. Hopefully it serves as a call to arms for all of us to make phone calls, write letters or emails and get some positive things rolling. So thank you, frenemy of the show, D-Wood Nasty, for the updated comment.
Is he no longer a frenemy? Because now it sounds as though he's
10 out of 10 now.
Full 10, 10.
I mean, I guess so. I would like to know who you are. Can you like reach out to us so we can be friends on Facebook?
What if he's not on Facebook? What if what I presented is true? What if this is his one method of... What if he's like a prisoner?
And he only has access to iTunes reviews and podcasts?
Maybe he's got podcast access because he's going to be on the next Serial.
Yeah, that's exactly. That could be what's happening.
Which I got a notification that Serial's coming out with a new release later this month. I think September 20th.
Oh, good.
I'm so excited. The Serial podcast for anybody who hasn't heard of it. I'm reluctant.
I want to see what their storyline is.
Yeah, I didn't read all of it.
None of that. You think it's D-Wood Nasty?
It might be D-Wood Nasty in prison.
I was thinking not a prisoner, like he's not a felon, although we welcome felons listening to our show. Like everyone's welcome to listen to it. It's free. I was thinking more like maybe he was in like I've been watching a lot of Jack Ryan on Amazon. Not to spoil keep and release at all, but but maybe like he's in a camp somewhere or something. He's got like an iPod Touch and access to iTunes. Like maybe ours, he's leaving a real iTunes review, but others, it's like a call for help. He's sending coordinates and stuff. But he's like, these guys are useless to me. There's no way they can figure that out.
Wow.
Maybe not.
I feel like you're about to draft a rapper. We have another review from Paducah Dave. He's from Kentucky.
Do you know where Paducah is?
Kentucky.
Do you know what else is from Kentucky?
Your mom.
Raylan Givens.
This is what Paducah Dave says. Wasn't sure at first if I would enjoy a Florida-based podcast, but I came to like it a lot as an avid duck hunter and fisherman. Yes, freshwater is for real men. I like hearing and comparing Florida to Kentucky outdoor stories. I can't imagine hunting ducks without 2 to 3 layers on, but I'd give it a try. Keep up the great work on the podcast. 5 stars.
We need Paducah Dave to come down here and hunt with us.
Paducah Dave is a great name. It rolls off.
We need to go hunt with Paducah Dave.
Dude, Paducah Dave is close to you.
Well, okay, like close as in like 7 hours.
That's close, dude. That's you're closer to Paducah Dave than you are to me.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's probably about the same.
Depending on your speeding.
Yeah, you know.
Neither me nor Paducah Dave can compete with the Chattahoochee River, though.
That's true. Because
of how much that muddy water means to you.
Oh, God.
It's not even funny.
You drafted rappers in a duck episode about college football teams.
Well, let's look to the future. What are we talking about on this episode, episode 52?
Hold on. A game is the foot.
What?
Yes.
A game is the foot.
Oh, my gosh. It's like you don't even know what's happening half the time.
I don't.
I sent you a thing.
Oh. I'm sorry.
You do the game is the foot, right?
Huh?
Or do I... Let me set up the game as the foot. We drew straws backstage, and Nate gets the first pick in the mini draft this week.
Nate gets first pick?
Yes, we drew straws backstage. This week, the mini draft is best cheeseburger. We could have done best hamburger, but if you eat a hamburger...
You're dead to me.
Yeah. Well, that was a bit much.
I was going to say, like, you're a communist. But
yeah,
like,
I think you guys are going a bit harsh. Like, if you eat a hamburger, you're not qualified to weigh in on this, is where I was going. Not, you're an... Wow. So, Nate, do we have any rules around where the cheeseburgers can be from? They can be from local, they can be from chains.
Local, fast food, chains, doesn't matter.
No price limits?
No.
Okay.
Although, if you eat a hamburger over, like, $10, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Let's roll. What you got?
All right. So my first pick is Andy's Igloo, Winter Haven, Florida.
Hometown hero.
And it's, you know, they have just like solid, good diner food. Their burgers are kind of their specialty, and they're really good. But it's more than just the burger. It's like the nostalgia because it's been there for like 1,000 years.
The jukebox.
And yeah, it's like the, you know, the 1950s diner feel. The milkshakes and the ice cream, you know, it's just the whole atmosphere that makes that burger what it is.
I would add that the part of what makes that burger special is the fact that the grill that they cook it on hasn't been cleaned since the 1950s.
Right. Yeah. It's got this layer of just grease,
but it is pretty
good.
So,
you know, you're getting that seasoning.
So here's the thing. That's a really thin burger. Like they, when they cook it, they like pat it really thin, but it's so good. Like when you get a double or a triple.
Oh, yeah. No, they're great.
Oh.
Cash only if you're going, everyone.
What about you? I'll let you have the second pick.
My first pick is Wendy's. The Dave's single. I'm so excited.
All right.
It's like God himself has spit in your mouth.
That's disgusting.
I don't think we could say that on the podcast.
The perfect combination of the burger... There's onions and lettuce and tomatoes. There's some kind of special sauce. I don't even know what it is. I think it might be mayonnaise, but there's also something else. And ketchup.
I don't.
And pickles.
It's mayonnaise and ketchup and pickles. Yes. Oh. It's like every burger ever. But
no.
Wendy's. No, I agree with you that Wendy's, as far as the fast food chains go, Wendy's is probably the best.
Yes. And they have the best social media online.
They
on
do.
Twitter. Oh. For sure.
Wendy's Twitter is hilarious.
And you cannot beat a Frosty and dipping your french fries in it with one of those burgers. So come
no,
at me.
No, negative. Listen, I went to a Wendy's not very long ago and asked for a Frosty, and they said, what flavor? And I said, what the are you talking about?
Wait a second.
No, I hate when they ask me that.
What do you order?
Because there's only one flavor.
Yeah, chocolate. What do you order at Wendy's?
A spicy chicken sandwich.
With what on it?
Plain.
Nothing on it. He eats breaded chicken and bread, y'all. So see, take that into consideration when you're...
I love...
thinking about his draft.
I love their spicy chicken sandwich.
It's far and away the best.
I go no tomatoes.
When Chick-fil-A came out with their spicy chicken sandwich, I walked inside. I ordered one. I ate it. And I walked inside. And I was like, you guys should stop because this is not Wendy's.
That's what I get every time at Chick-fil-A.
Nah, it's Wendy's.
But they're different enough. They're different enough to me to where they don't like.
All right.
Anyway.
First pick for me, Red Robin. Yum.
No.
Yum.
Have y'all had a Red Robin?
It's been a long time.
Gilly?
I don't think I've ever had one.
It is the truth. As far as I was trying to go through like the Chili's burgers, because all those burgers are pretty good, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. None of them are bad.
Red Robin, man, it's like they put crack in it or something. And they have bottomless fries.
What do you get on your burger at Red Robin?
I get bacon. I get at least one kind of cheese because they have like 15 to choose from. I get barbecue sauce and a burger and sometimes a fried egg.
Yeah, I don't get you.
That's big time, right, Nate?
I mean, half of that is big time.
Yeah.
You're missing some ingredients, though.
Nah. All right, what you got? Second pick.
I'm going to go Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Dang it. That was on my list.
I said at the beginning, if you pay more than $10, you're doing it wrong, but... Five Guys, it's like $11.99 for a double, which is ridiculous. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous for what you're getting. But they are really good. They are really good. And they've got a ton of toppings you can do. But I usually go pretty plain. I go like cheese, ketchup, mayonnaise, maybe like some pickles or something. But I usually keep that just like because their burger flavor is so good.
Hmm. Oh, so good. Hmm.
Okay.
But I hate their fries.
No, I love their fries. You go half Cajun.
No,
half
I hate
original.
Their fries.
I hate their fries
no.
too. Okay, my second pick is Sonic.
America's Drive-In.
The greasiest cheeseburger you could possibly ever get, but that's not really why I love them. It's mostly because their cheeseburger comes with a giant cherry limeade.
So you're there for the
cherry
drink.
Limeade. I usually get strawberry limeade, but it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Put a little vodka in it. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think that's
so. You haven't done that
yet. No kids. That's not what we do.
One time I was going to a wedding. There was no bar at the wedding, so I went to a Sonic on the way there and spiked my cherry limeade, and it was a good decision.
I didn't go to that wedding.
What's your second pick?
All right, my second pick. Oh, man. Five Guys is gone. Andy's is gone. I'm going SNL Burgers in Lakeland.
Sleazy Burger.
Dang, man. That's such a good pick.
Yeah, which I call Sleazy Burger. If you are ever in Lakeland, Florida, cash only. I ate there every day for about 2 years and only gained about 35 pounds.
They're so good.
Good fries, good burger, like a thick patty.
Big, thick, juicy. Oh, man.
And they have great sweet tea, which is a huge thing when you're having a burger. You got to
have
some
good
sweet
tea. They
really
do have great sweet
tea. All right, what do you got, Nate? Last pick.
Gilly took my Wendy's pick. I was going to go Wendy's for my third pick, but I'm going to go with McDonald's.
The OG.
I love a good McDonald's burger. People are like, ugh, it's so gross. It's so disgusting. Look, give me a Big Mac or a quarter pound of cheese any day. I will pound that thing.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. There's something about the cheese at McDonald's. It's
I don't know what it is.
Anywhere else.
I agree
They're
with
just,
you.
You know, I don't have it a lot, but when I do, it's like food for my soul, man.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's somebody listening to this right now saying, oh, McDonald's, I would never eat McDonald's. Yes, you would. We know that you would.
Bull crap. Yes,
you're
going
to pull in there and get a double quarter pounder.
Mm-hmm.
And pound it.
Pound it.
All right, last pick.
My last pick is one of my hometown favorites. It's the Shake Shop in Auburndale by the park. They have the best cheeseburgers, and you order one, and they make it right then, and then they wrap it in aluminum, and you have to, like, hot potato it because you can't hold it because it's hot.
Nate, have you ever eaten anything from the Shake Shop?
I have not.
I haven't either because I've been there like 75 times to eat and it's never been open.
It's not open because you're a Winter Haven Blue Devil.
I'm pretty sure it's a front for a drug/mafia type organization. Last pick. I'm going. This was hard, man. This was a lot harder than I imagined. But I'm going Fuddruckers.
Interesting.
Because, and I haven't eaten there in a while, but used to they were pretty good and you could get all the different types of meat. You could, like, at different times of year, you could get an elk burger or a buffalo burger.
Right.
There's one of those by Bass Pro, right? In Orlando.
Yep.
So I might, like, if I sat it next to Burger 21 or Square One or one of those burger chains, I might would pick the other one. But going off memory, I'm going Fuddruckers. Because, like, nostalgically, that sounds really good.
That's a solid pick.
No,
that's
wait. Solid. I just changed it. Jungle Jim's. Is that still a thing in Orlando?
It is, yeah.
Jungle Jim's is my pick. Because they got the peanut butter burger and all the funky. Have you eaten there?
I've never eaten there.
It's just nothing but burgers. It's fantastic.
Yeah. We used to go there like anytime there was the Disney Christian concert thing or like, what
Night
is it?
Joy.
Night of Joy or Rock the Universe. We'd always hit up Jungle Jim's on the way home.
It was
home,
so but... good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a solid pick. I just won.
It was a good one.
All right. So tonight we're calling this episode The Voices in Our Head, which is probably terrifying to anyone listening right now.
Yeah. You're going to have to explain this one.
So here was the idea. And maybe I didn't convey this as well to the team because in our group chat where we were discussing this, I said, I don't want the name, like I don't want Bill Dance to be the name that comes up. I want it to be different names than what people are used to that are really kind of the voices we think about when we're doing the outdoors, the voices we hear when we're outdoor doing outdoor stuff. So they can be on social media. They may not be on social media, but we're going to talk through that. And this may be more serious, but probably not. Anyway,
yeah, well,
Nate, you want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. This guy's for the last few years, I've been listening to his podcast and watching his TV show and really come to respect this guy a lot when it comes to outdoor stuff and conservation issues and things like that. But it's Steve Ranella.
Absolutely.
Of Meat Eater. I've learned more in the last like couple of years listening to his podcast and watching his show than I've learned almost my entire hunting career. Just stuff I would never think about, especially like out west stuff that I don't get to do a lot. But just conservation issues, how things are funded, which we're going to do an episode on soon. And just, you know, the North American model of conservation and how that works. It's like just mind-blowing stuff. And so I've really come to respect him. Yeah, I really love the content he puts out.
I think we talked about him in our writers episode or our books episode. Like he's really, to me, the most important voice in the outdoors writing arena right now. And I don't know that he writes that frequently anymore because he's doing the shows like he does, but just a super smart guy. I mean, did you listen to the podcast where he sat down with Joe Rogan? He went on Joe Rogan's show.
Yeah, I've listened to that one.
Like, they don't talk about hunting or, I mean, he talks about going to Colombia or the Amazon or something and living with a tribe. He's just such a smart guy and so well spoken and so articulate that he's just impressive. Yeah, he's definitely a voice.
Yeah, he's up there for me, for sure.
What do you got, Em?
So mine is going to be from my stupid perspective. Not that my perspective's stupid, but I'm just not you guys.
Is it Chance the Rapper?
Yes, he wrote this rap about being outside. No, there's this blog that I've been following since 2009, probably. It's called Young House Love.
Okay.
And it's this couple, and they just started renovating their house and blogging about it, and it kind of took off, and now they have like books and they have a furniture line, but I've been with them since the very beginning. And something that's been really cool to watch and influences me is as they have had children, they make it a point to go explore their community. So like going to the local river, they live in Virginia and they take the kids there to swim, or they just bought a beach house on the coast and renovated it. And so they are constantly taking their kids to the beach and they're paddle boarding. They go on nature walks all the time and they're intentional about being outside with young children, which is not easy because you have to sunscreen them and you have to make sure they have snacks and you have to make sure they have water.
It's easier not to do.
It's easier to stay home. And so I constantly have that in my mind, even though our kids are older, of just intentionally making time to go be outside for myself. It's good for your soul.
Yes.
So that's kind of an influence that I have, even though it's from an interior design blog.
No, I love that. And
no, that's great.
She's talked about them so much that around our house, we've never met these people. We affectionately call them Uncle John and Aunt Sherry because she talks about them so much.
The kids make fun of me all the time. What about you?
The voice, when I wrote this, I intended to go more like bigger personalities, but the voice in my head the most often when I'm outside is my family. Like, I can't go hunting or fishing without thinking of my dad, who's been a big influence in your life.
Oh yeah, his voice is in my head a lot too.
But like, I go back to being a little kid and being in the hunter safety class with him, like when he had to take it, and being so impressed that he passed the field drills because he laid his gun, he didn't lean it up against the fence post, and went under in a dry spot, and all that. Like, that just resonated with me, and I still think about that stuff to this day. Like, it's ingrained in me. But then I also think about, like, something that echoes for me a lot is, like, my kids when we go fishing or hunting. I try to look at it through, just like what you were just talking about, through their perspective of what kind of duck is that. So sometimes I'll proactively say, those are wood ducks. You can tell by the way they're whistling or the way they're flying with their head up and looking. You know, I almost try to anticipate what they're doing. So that's a voice that I hear a lot. And then also, Daddy, how long will I be bleeding for? It's hot. Can we go home? Anyway, but no, those are voices that are in my head quite a bit whenever we're doing outside recreation stuff. Not really. I kind of pulled a fast one on you guys because that's not really the direction we tended to go. But when I was thinking about it, I couldn't go without saying that.
No, yeah, for sure.
Actually glad you said that because that triggered another one. I'll do that on my next turn.
Another person I listen to a lot is a guy named Randy Newberg.
He's
also
awesome.
Has a podcast. Yeah, he has a podcast. He has a TV show. Well, he's not on TV anymore. He's pretty much all on YouTube, which is great because it's free and all that good stuff. But he's a major voice for public lands and conservation. He lives in Montana. And if you want to learn how to go out west and shoot an elk,
he's the guy.
Go watch his videos on YouTube. Like, he's right now he's doing a whole series on just e-scouting, so electronic scouting. Scouting from your like couch.
That's cool.
So getting on the computer and looking at satellite images and all this different stuff, and it's really cool. But he's a really good guy. He really lobbies hard for public lands and conservation, and that's one person I listened to a lot recently.
He's a super important voice in the industry. Like, I would put him right behind Ranella, just like you did. Super sharp guy, super smart guy.
Exactly. Yep.
Well-spoken, articulate, understands game. You just tell he's been doing it a million years. Like, hunting elk is like breathing to him.
Right, yeah.
To me, I would equate it to the way that we feel about, like, snook fishing.
Right, yeah.
He thinks
know
nothing
so
of
much
it,
about,
yeah. But he thinks everything of it.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right.
All
right,
Ian?
So, the next voice in my head is you. It's Travis. But I'm going to pull back the curtain because this is what it's like. We have diagnosed Travis with what we call wildlife Tourette's. And basically
everyone listening to this suffers from this disease.
We'll be in the car going somewhere and I'll be like, and I just feel X, Y, or Z, and this is really bothering me and I don't know how to solve this problem, like pouring my heart out. And he'll be like, oh my God, did you see that snake? Slam on brakes, reverse the car. He's like, I got to rescue that snake out of the middle of the road.
I don't see the problem.
Or, thank you, Nate. I'll be like mid sentence and he's like, turtle, wood duck,
sandhill crane.
that's a soft shell turtle. I got to get it off the road. He's not going to make it. I'll be right back. And then like the car's not even in park and he's running down the street.
I'm doing like the Kiki challenge trying to rescue stuff.
Yeah. Or we're driving past our retention pond. There's an alligator. Do you see that alligator? That's a good looking alligator. He's cute. He's clean. I'm like, what the hell? How do you even see that? We're going 60 miles an hour down a highway. Anyway, wildlife Tourette's. It's real.
What do you have any rebuttal for that, Nate? Because I'm owning that.
No, I mean,
I'll wear
like,
that all
look,
day.
No, I'll wear that too. Because I'll be driving. Oh, that's an eagle. Like I'll see. Hey, the eagle just flew by, or that's a hawk, or hey, look at those deer on the side of the road. Like, you know, I'm constantly you're constantly looking, scanning, looking for cool stuff.
And I'll tell this story, and it's gonna sound like I'm telling a cool story about me, but everybody that's listening to this has done this before. We were driving in a state park in Alabama one time, and we were going probably 20, 25 miles, whatever the speed limit was around this park. And I happened to glance over into some woods and saw an ear flick. And I said, there's a deer laying there. Actually, there's a bunch of them. And I put the car in reverse, and she was so freaking impressed that I saw that, that ever since then, I'm trying to top it.
Yeah, but I'm talking. There's words coming out of my mouth, and you just start shouting wildlife.
I know. See, I feel like we could continue the conversation, but you can only see that sandhill crane for a moment.
Right.
Or that bird's flying across the road for a moment, or that snake is going
to... You can have that conversation anytime.
Yeah. Well, it's important. I'm not dismissing the conversation. It's just I want to press pause for a second, just like you do with Netflix. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to end well.
No, I've come to accept it. I'm sure I do silly things like say Tupac is alive on your podcast. So it's probably even.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure I owe you and a million more. Nate, please tell us another voice in your head.
You are next.
Oh, I haven't gone. Woo! Next one I'm going with is Rocky LaFleur. Rocky,
good pick.
Rocky runs the Duck South podcast.
He sounds like a WWE fighter.
No.
Rocky LaFleur is a great name.
Anyway, he's just a super good guy. And I was thinking about this, like, whenever something happens, and I think Rocky, he listens to us and he kind of watches what we do too, but whenever something happens, I always look kind of and see what is Rocky doing, like when Yeti happens or when the Arkansas WMA situation blew up and stuff. I like to see how he handles it because I feel like as you do this longer, you become a lot more measured in how you speak. Like the Red Tide episode, we anguished over that for weeks. That was not off the cuff hot takes. We love hot takes, but that wasn't that. Anyway, I really respect him from the duck hunting industry, or from the outdoors industry. Being a smart voice, a measured voice, a calming voice, maybe. And he has a good time.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I've seen from him. He's got wisdom about him, and he kind of just, like, thinks about things and is slow to react. And that's kind of what I want to be. I want to be slow to react and not so, like, all the time.
He's also super connected in the industry and brings in a lot of people I appreciate from, like, a waterfowl heritage perspective. Bradley Ramsey and Pat Pitt. And so people, like, in Florida, we don't necessarily know who these guys are, but these are guys that have killed, you know, of the 43 species in North America, they've killed 62 of them. Like, yeah. They've killed all the subspecies of Canada geese, and like just really impressive years and years and years of wisdom. And that's just cool to listen to and to hear. So that's a good voice, I think. What about you?
This guy's kind of a new guy on the map here, and I just realized all of my things are podcasts, but this guy, his name is Ben O'Brien, and he runs the Hunting Collective podcast.
Okay.
And he used to work for Yeti, but he's kind of similar to like Ranella and Newberg, where he's just kind of a major voice, becoming a major voice in the industry. He's sitting down with a lot of these big name guys and just talking about conservation, talking about hunting, talking about things, and he's got a very calm demeanor, and he's one of those guys that's not very reactionary, kind of like Rocky is. He's just right. kind of like, he thinks about it, and he takes time to analyze it. But I've really enjoyed listening to his stuff. You know, if you're interested, check him out. It's the Hunting Collective podcast. It's pretty good.
I haven't heard that yet. I like that. You know, Tom Roland started a podcast too.
I do know that. Yeah.
But here's my concern, just listening to what you said, because it sounded like the Roland podcast, is I don't want it just to be about the big names. Like, as soon as Roland started, he interviewed Bill Dance and he interviewed Flip Hallett and he interviewed, and I'm not dismissing those guys. They're giants of the industry, but I want to hear from some different voices and some fresh voices and stuff. And it sounds like Ben could be one of those voices.
No, he is. And I think he's starting to get in with people that have fresh voices and have fresh ideas. And, you know, some of his podcasts are about like CWD or,
right,
you know,
chronic wasting disease,
just chronic wasting disease, or they're about public lands, or, you know, just different things. He's kind of just branching out,
yeah,
and pulling in people that you may not have ever heard of before, but have a lot to say about a certain thing.
What about you?
All right. This is my last voice, but just my parents, not to piggyback off you, but I always hear, when I'm on a boat, I hear my dad, if he's not with us, he always pours out one for the boys. He'll pour out some juice from a can of Vienna sausages for the fish. He says that brings the fish, and that's like a family tradition. But then mom is always in my head because of sunscreen. Wear sunscreen, which I resisted as a child pretty vehemently. So,
your parents are in my head a lot when I'm fishing, too. Look out! Duck!
Watch your back, Cass.
Can you get this hook out?
Yeah, exactly.
Are we out of bait already? Why are all the white bait floating upside down?
I'm hung in another tree.
I went ahead and turned the live well off. Is that okay?
That was a good one. Hey, but they're fun.
All right. I've got two more, because I think we only are supposed to do three, but I got two more. I got Chad Rashar.
Yep.
Who I think is a super important voice up and coming in the outdoors world. If you don't know, agreed, Chad, he's a friend of the show. He's the Southeast Backcountry Hunters and Anglers vice president or something. I don't know. Titles don't matter. But he's a really good guy, super helpful guy, on the ball, super passionate about BHA, but he's also super passionate about keeping BHA in line with what he believes. And he's all about public lands and keeping public lands in public hands. And, you know, he really wants to increase their presence here in Florida. I just, every time I have a conversation with him, I leave it and I'm like, I really like that guy. So he's a good voice in the industry that is up and coming, and we need to be, I wish more people were listening to him. He doesn't have a podcast. We'll probably have him on as a guest at some point, but he's been on a few shows before, not ours.
Where does he live?
Jacksonville.
Okay.
Then I got one more that I feel like is less a voice, more of a picture. And we've talked about him before on the show, and that's Eric Orlando. If you're on social media, he's on Facebook as Eric Orlando, but he's on Instagram as Six Drakes Photography. But I just like, in the morass of the outdoors industry, where we're all limits and outdoing one another and battling about water quality and fighting about who's right and who's wrong and everything else, Eric's just out there enjoying the outdoors.
Just taking pictures, taking awesome pictures.
Predominantly public land. But the dude, I mean, he's not just taking pictures. He puts his bow down occasionally because he's a hunter. Like, he deer hunts, turkey hunts, absolutely, he hog hunts. And he's got his kids out there doing it, shooting squirrels and chasing ducks. And I really admire that. So I think that's a voice that's an important one that's up and coming. And he does a lot of it through pictures.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, he's got a beautifully curated account. So make sure you check him out on Insta.
Absolutely, yeah. All right.
I got one more.
You got one more.
I feel a little left out since you both picked your parents. So I'm going to go ahead and, obviously my dad is in my head all the time because he was taught me how to shoot and, you know, fish and all this stuff, even though he kind of learned, he was pretty new to it right before I came along. And, which a lot of that has to do with your parents, right, Travis.
My dad.
Your dad. Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, my dad, we get to the dove field and I just started shooting this kind of sticks out in my head. And he would tell me, I'd be sitting right next to him. He's like, okay, you can shoot from right here in the middle to your right, but don't swing past that point.
Yeah, you know, it's like 12 little, o'clock or whatever.
Right, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Yeah, that's your zone. You can have that zone. So it's like little things like that where it sticks in my head to where I get on a dove field, and if somebody's closer than they probably should be, I'm like, okay, I can't swing that way toward that person. You know, and so it's just little things like that. And then watch your back cast, even though I hooked him in the head with a 6-inch skitter walk. just little things like that. That
just been drilled into you.
You pick up. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, always keep your muzzle pointed in a safe direction.
I was about to
say. And every time, like, I would swing the muzzle right at him, he'd, like, grab it and, like, pick it up, grab it from me, and take it from me. Like, okay, you can have this in a minute. You're not going to have this anymore right now.
Yep.
You know, just stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously, my dad has been a huge influence and a huge voice in my head.
Does it feel like your dad? Yeah. And your dad was an influence for me too, even though as he was learning, I mean, he was an adult, so he was getting to do stuff with my dad more advanced than I was, but watching him learn almost showed me a good way to learn. But did you ever feel like, and I'm sure you feel this way too, even though you didn't grow up hunting, you were around guns a lot.
I was just about to say this really, safety is a thing.
Did you ever feel like you could have that gun for 4 hours in a dove field and never once point it in an unsafe direction, but the second it crossed the plane of his shoe, he would look?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You would feel the look bearing into your soul.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I just messed up.
Yep. Like that inevitably would happen. Like it was like your mom knowing that you didn't take the trash out or something.
Yeah.
But you got home. That happens.
Yeah. So
as a dad, I see that all the time too, because I'm, and as a guide, I'm eagle eyed because I don't want to get shot, and I really don't want anybody else to get shot.
So knowing that, book a charter with us.
So you don't get shot.
Don't shoot Travis and don't get shot.
You want me to go first? I mean, I've gone first and everything else is.
Do you want me to go first? So.
I could go first.
Sure.
I'll go first. Or
you go first. You never go first.
All right. Here's my release. And this is going to sound familiar, but I'm going a different tact on this. It's new country music. How bad is new country music?
It's terrible.
Like
most of it's really bad.
Let me tell y'all something. People of America that are listening to this, let me tell y'all something. It's bad. The other day, I don't have Bluetooth in my truck. So I have the little cable connection for my phone to be able to listen to podcasts and stuff.
Right.
I forgot it. I brought it in, I think, to record and left it inside. So I turn on 97 Country. If you're in Central Florida, you know 97 Country, your hometown country station.
Your hometown country station.
They played Florida Georgia Line. And that was the best thing they played. Oh. They played this Blake Shelton song, Turning Me On. Have y'all heard that?
No.
That's the entire lyrics. He just keeps repeating that over and over and over and over and over and over. Then I'm listening to it. David Lee Murphy comes on, who I kind of almost like. And he's got this new song, and it's kind of a cross between like some rap and some reggae. I'm like, this is terrible. And guess who he joins him like halfway through the song?
Kenny Chesney.
Kenny frickin' Chesney. And I'm just like, are we out of ideas? Like, are we just done? Can we just turn country music off at this point? Like, we're going to end the genre. It's over.
Yeah, there's like three artists right now that I'm really into. But the rest of them, like, yeah, it's just not great.
There are some good ones, though. Like, this morning, I'm in the same rut, so I really feel what you're saying. I was listening to Kacey Musgraves. And
she's good. I like
Maren Morris.
Like her.
And then that Blackberry Smoke band. Like just some kind of grungy country, like original, really good, twangy, but new age. I don't know.
Man. I'm just worried about it.
Don't be worried.
I'm a big Luke Combs fan too.
Yeah, I feel like
the problem is you're listening to the radio. You gotta curate your own experience.
Yeah, you gotta make your own playlist.
This is concerning to me for the youths of America because that's where they're getting their music from, right?
No, they all have WePods.
Someone out there is saying, hey, you should listen to this crap on the radio.
Oh, well.
Somebody's listening to it.
A lot of people buying tickets to Kenny Chesney concerts, Travis.
A lot of people buying Florida Georgia Line albums.
Yep.
True.
I can't negotiate that gap somehow. I can't figure it out.
End of days.
End of days. All right. What is your release, Emily?
So in China, if anyone is in China, please bring me home some of these wasabi or hot chicken wing Oreos. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
What did you just say?
Oreo has released two flavors only in China, wasabi or hot wing.
What's wrong with double stuff?
Oh.
Thank you. Or like the fudge dipped mint ones or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and release those.
Hot chicken wing Oreos?
Oreo, if you're listening to this podcast, stop. Just stop.
It is getting out of control. Like, even if you go down to your local Walmart.
They have, like, cherry cola flavor.
The variety of Oreos is like a cereal aisle.
It's like potato chips. Lay's started this when they started doing the contest for potato chips. Mm-hmm. But both of the things you just said would work in potato chips.
Not so much with Oreos.
But not with Oreos. Oreos are chocolate-based.
And they're sweet. Those aren't sweet things. Yeah,
I'm out on that.
Now, I would try them. Because you have to try them. But no,
I would try anything once, but
yeah.
I would also probably not like it.
I wouldn't
at all.
Even try those. I wouldn't waste my mouth chews on those things. And did y'all know that there are Oreo churros in the frozen aisle, food aisle?
No.
They're like,
whoa.
They're like churros of Oreo with like ice cream or whipped cream stuffed inside of them. Now that is an Oreo innovation I can get behind.
Wow. That's pretty great.
Yeah. Did you just Google that?
Uh-uh.
You just wrote it
down.
I
just made a little note for myself.
You made
myself.
A note to check that out.
I made a note that you said the word mouth chews.
Mouth chews?
Yeah.
Nate, what is your release?
My release is, have you seen where Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem are like beefing like on Facebook? Have you seen this?
Machine Gun Kelly, no. The gangster from the 1920s?
No, like he's a rapper.
Oh, okay.
And Eminem. He's a rapper.
I've not seen that.
Why are they beefing?
That's fine.
Because I just listened to...
I don't know, but here's my release. My release is the fact that people actually care about this.
Yes. Thank you.
Right? I mean, like, who gives a crap, right? I mean, like, I just don't care. I mean, I care enough, obviously, to talk about it on a freaking podcast, but, you know, but, like, who cares?
I don't even know
it's
who
like,
that is.
Oh, Machine Gun Kelly's like, blah, 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 and, like, Eminem's like, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't care.
Eminem's a moron to respond to anybody who says anything to him because he's the king.
I agree with that for the most part. But again, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. I did listen to his new album, though.
I've heard it's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Is it straight fire?
It's not. It's
Is it
not.
As good as Taylor Swift's?
He's got a lot of brain damage from the drugs.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
For what he's working with. What's your keep, Travis?
My keep is... Oh, I've got a couple of keeps. My first keep is tomorrow night's the Kissimmee Invasive Plant Management Meeting. I need to see all your happy, smiling faces there. Like, all 19,000 listeners, if you could show up. That would be awesome. What would we do if 19,000 people showed up?
Have a party.
That would be big time, right?
Are they supposed to wear camo?
Yes, please wear camo to delineate yourself as a duck hunter. Please be respectful. This isn't really a keep. This is more of a PSA.
Did your bra come in?
No. By the way, I should apologize to everyone that I did not remember the Seinfeld Bro Manzier episode. So my real keep is the Jack Ryan on Amazon. Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
Is it good? Like I've seen the trailers.
I was worried about Jim Halpert as an action hero. I was a little worried about that.
I'm a little worried about that too. But
I think he pulled it off, man. Like, I told Emily, I was like, you don't want to watch this because it's pretty gory. Like, there's some gory stuff in it. It's no worse than a Justified or anything else, but it's got some rough spots. Language is a little rough, but it's pretty good. If you like guns and America and beating terrorists.
I like all those things.
And the CIA and, like, Jim Halpert. Like, if you like all that stuff, it's worth watching.
I'm going to give it a shot. I know you think I won't like it.
I'm going to check it out.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it's definitely a keep.
All right, my keep this week. Nate, have you heard of this site called HipCamp? HIPCAMP.com?
No.
Okay.
No, I have not.
I need you to check it out because you mentioned you're going camping. This site looks freaking awesome. If you're listening and you've been to the Airbnb website, okay, it's kind of like that, but it's for camping. And so this girl realized that, well, she loved to go camping and she was like, I want to go camping. And she did all this research to find this perfect camping spot. And she went to it and it was on the beach. She wanted to camp and watch the sunrise over the ocean. But for some reason, they didn't tell her that she could surf there. So she didn't bring her surfboard. And she was like, why is this so hard? I need one spot where I can go to figure out everything I want to do when I'm camping and like know about it better. She took like a 10 or 12 week class and taught herself to code and built hipcamp.com and started it herself.
Wow.
Wow.
And so obviously she's had some investors along the way. And did you pull it up?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's pretty.
And it's so neat. You can obviously search by zip code, but then you can say, okay, I want to stay in a structure or I want to camp in a tent or I have an RV or I have pets. And you just, it's so awesome.
Wow. This cool. looks big time.
No, I'll check that out.
It made me want to go camping real bad. In fact, I found a bunch of stuff on the West Coast where you could rent like a tiny cabin.
On the West Coast of Florida?
Yes.
Or of the United States?
Of Florida.
No, this is pretty cool. I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes. If you're an outdoorsy person, go check out hipcamp.com. They take a 10% commish off the top, but for the service they're providing, I think that's a steal. And if you have land and you want people to be able to camp on it, you can set up to be a host and get your spot rented through the site. So very cool.
All right, Nate, bring it home.
All right. Yeah, my keep this week is another podcast. Good gosh, this whole episode's about podcasts for me.
We're going to have three listeners when you get done.
Right, yeah. But no, this is not an outdoors podcast at all. It's actually a podcast about Harry Potter.
What?
Yeah, it's called Binge Mode. And these two people, they work for TheRinger.com. And The Ringer is like, they do a bunch of stuff.
Isn't The Ringer Bill Simmons' site?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on there. But Mallory Rubin and Jason Concepcion.
Love Mallory Rubin.
She's great. But they have reread the series, Harry Potter, and they're both like huge fans. And they're going five chapters at a time through the entire series.
Oh my
God. So they take the first book and they do an hour long podcast on the first five chapters. Then they do 6 through 10, 11 through 15, you know, and they just keep going. And then they do the movie at the end and it's so well done. And like the stuff they talk about and like you can like feel their love for it through the podcast. And it's like made me like want to reread the series. And so I've started rereading the series again. And so like, you know, it's so good. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, if you've read the books, even if you hadn't read the books, go read the books and then go listen to the podcast because it's so good.
You just ruined my day tomorrow.
What is it called again?
Binge Mode.
Binge Mode.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and they go so deep on everything and it's got some adult content. So I wouldn't listen to it with your kids because they cuss and talk about adult themes.
Right.
But it's just excellently done, and it's been a blast to listen to.
Okay, I'm going to check this out.
That's an awesome recommendation, Nate.
Yes, it was. That's strong.
Especially since we're in Halloween season.
Yeah, but that's like hundreds of hours of recording.
Oh, they're on book five now.
Oh, my gosh.
But you've got a lot of content to listen to right now.
Yeah, no kidding. So listen to this first and then that.
Right.
If you're a Harry Potter fan. And as always,
stay woke. Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where we want to thank you for letting us be the voices in your ear pods. For links to our mentions in this episode, like hipcamp.com or the Harry Potter binge cast or that article on Wasabi Oreos, make sure you check out our show notes at castandblastfl.com. Just click on listen and you'll see episode 52. Locals in Florida, please make sure you come to the Kissimmee Chain Invasive Plant Meeting tomorrow on September 12th and wear your camo. It is time to represent. If you need more information about the meeting, reach out to Travis Thompson on Facebook or social media, or you can hit us up at Cast and Blast FL. Later.